And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, a show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget that you can also go to our website and listen to the show again if you miss something or if you think it's interesting and you want a friend to listen to it. You go to our website. We normally upload them about 10 days after the show is aired, and our website is www.nagb.org.bs. You go to the Learn menu and then scroll down to Blank Canvas, and then you see pictures of all the archive shows, and if you click on the show, you'll find a link to the recording, and you can send that to people, or you can listen to it again, etc., etc. So we're still talking about we're doing a lot of shows on the National Exhibition because there's so many artists, so the audience is like, oh, we're still talking about that show. We're still talking about the NE9, the fruit and the seed. We would love you to come visit it. Don't forget that the NAGB is always free on Sunday, so if you want to come with a whole bunch of people and you don't want to pay that $7 for adults or $5 for students and seniors, it's always free for kids under 12, so that's important to know. You can send your kids there any day of the week and it's free, but on Sunday it's free for the whole family, so come on down. So we're talking about the fruit and the seed. We heard from Kendra Farup before the break, and now we're going to talk a little bit to Jalon Harris. Hi, Jalon.
Hi,
how are you? I'm good. We had you in the studio quite recently, actually.
Yeah, not too long ago.
For your solo show at Dungalik.
Yes.
How did that go?
It went really well, and then it was well received.
Good.
It was basically on motherhood and me experiencing it for the first time and all the rest of that. So yeah, it was really memorable.
And then it's sort of interesting because that then somehow ties into your piece in the National Exhibition, which is, well, how would you even describe it? It's like a photo collage because it's sort of somewhere between. There's decals, there's photos. It's kind of a collage on the wall.
Yes.
And some of them are framed and some of them aren't. And it's really interesting. Is it just mixed media? I guess that's what you say, mixed media.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Okay, well, I initially had photographed this person for the poses, and then I digitally imposed the photos of the flowers onto the heads. And the vinyl was actually a last-minute thing. After we hung it, it needed to, I guess, breathe more. Mm-hmm. So we decided to add a little bit more greenery to it. So
yeah. It's sort of these bodies that are photographed in almost like balletic poses or athletic poses,
right?
Somehow,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
the so they're not just standing there. They're like, you know, really beautiful,
so
beautiful bodies, beautiful black bodies. But then they all have, instead of having heads, they've got flowers.
Yeah, they have different flowers.
Different flowers.
Yeah.
And then there's also kind of plants sort of growing around.
Yeah, just some leaves for design purposes, just to make it nice and green.
But so tell us a little bit, what's the title of the piece and what is it, what's it all about?
It's called Self-Pollination. It was a series that came, I guess, after I had submitted for the open call. It spoke about, there's this, I guess, in recent times, I noticed that science has progressed into trying to create life without the womb. And I found that interesting how it kind of correlates to society. So I wanted to use a male model to represent the absence of the womb when, I guess, creating life. And the flowers would speak to, I guess, its asexual nature. So all of that tied into the entire piece. So the flowers would represent, like, you know, asexual reproduction. And then the male body represented how, I guess, the womb is, you know, it's becoming obsolete in a sense.
Yeah, that's so funny because I always thought that, or I kind of imagined that, maybe it's my feminist perspective, that it's kind of like, so long as you have the sperm, what do you actually need a man for? Like,
right.
I mean, I know, in a way, like, and I thought, you know, I sort of imagined that one day there might be this society of just women who are just kind of, you know, we only need like a stud.
Right.
And, right? Just the one kept somewhere.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that you could also see a future, that's the future you see that's happening of like not needing wombs.
Right.
Because also, you know, that TV show, right? What's the TV show? The Handmaid's Tale. Which is dealing with another topic, but which is actually happening, which is people are less and less fertile, right?
Right. Yeah,
and
right.
So in that story, there's only certain women that are actually can bear, and they become these baby-making machines to all different kinds of families. They become sort of almost like rented out, like womb for rent. So it's interesting how we can all foresee like these different futures that are all very dystopian, I have to say. Right?
Right, yeah.
But you also, or I also, someone told me, and I don't know if this is true, so I'm glad I have you on the show. Someone said it also represented the fact that younger generations are expressing less and less desire to actually have children.
Yeah, and I think it's actually less of that and maybe deciding to have them a lot later too. Mm-hmm. But in this current time, I guess, in their 20s, where people expect to get married and start the family, they're actually focused more on their careers. And, mm-hmm. you know, the common discussion is they just want to be more stable, mm-hmm. you know. So, yeah, that's usually what I get from, I guess, people of my age or younger. And, mm-hmm. yeah, they're just focused on other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, which is really tough because I was the same, right? Because I grew up under that, like, super feminist mother who was like, get your career. And I didn't do it intentionally because I was married previously. That just didn't work out. I didn't, like, meet the right guy right. with which to have the children until I was 36, right? But now I think, like, if my daughter waits till she's 40 to have a kid, I'm going to be 80 when I'm a grandmother, yeah. right? And so I'm just like, my daughter loves babies. And I'm like, honey, if you need to, just go. I'll just take care of it till you're out of college. Don't worry. Like, just I'll look after it till you're out of college. But I also think it might be a little bit of the breakup of the family, too. Mm-hmm. Because I think, like, in the olden days, quote unquote, which is like two generations ago. But let's call it the olden days. Families were closer. Right. And so even if you had to go work, because, again, this idea of working women being a modern thing is actually, I don't want to say a bad word on the radio, but it's not true. Mm-hmm. Because, poor women have always had to work, yeah, right? That's definitely a super middle class way of looking mm-hmm. at the world. Exactly. Like, oh, women have only just started working. I'm like, well, you know, and I understand that during the war and everything, it changed. But, women have always worked.
Right.
I mean, come on. They've always been like, you know, housemaids and chambermaids mm-hmm. and whatever. And, you know, like, let's not even go back to the slavery period, right? So, again, this idea of, like, working women being something new. But I think what was different was that in the past, families were closer. So when you knocked out 3-5 kids when you were between the ages of 20 and 30 or 20 and 28, there was an extended family to look after them.
Exactly.
Whereas now we've become so fragmented that if you have your couple of kids, you're pretty much on your own looking right. after them. Yeah. And it's you and your husband. If you're lucky enough that your husband sticks around, or if you're, you know, you have a husband at all, or whatever, right? And so your family, whoever that is, but it's not as many people. Like, maybe you don't have three aunts and a grandmother and a great grandmother. Because again, if you have kids younger, mm-hmm. you also got great grandma hanging out too, right?
Yeah.
And so I think actually that's more of the problem than the idea that we work. I think it's more about the extended family, and I think we're sort of coming maybe circling back to that now a little bit.
Yeah.
That we're sort of realizing that. I mean, I certainly am like all about kids come live at home, dump your kids on me. Mm-hmm. I want to have them.
No.
You know, Kendra's like, no. No. You're like, I did that. I mean, it's not so much that I desperately want to, like, have another baby, like, mm-hmm. at all. I really don't. But I'm just saying, like, I know as a working mother what a struggle it is.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I was lucky because when I had our first and second, we were living in Germany still. And my mother-in-law lived upstairs from us. Okay. And that changed everything. Everything. It made my career possible.
It changes the kid, too. Yeah, exactly.
Changes
yeah,
the kid because helpful. They... Exactly. So, but back to your piece, Jean. Did you also have a similar, because again, like when I look at black bodies and landscapes, I come up with a history comes into my head right away. Was that at all in your head, or when you look at it now, do you think about that at all? About the relationship of, you know, as a Bahamian, and especially male bodies and landscapes.
Yeah.
So it's very male. Like you said, you're taking the uterus out of it. So mm-hmm. it's all male. Mm-hmm. And do you see anything else going on there, or not really? Or is that just...
Well, yeah, I wanted the subject to be different because, of course, when I was dealing with the flowers, you automatically think feminine and, you know, all the rest of that. So I wanted to, I guess, use the male black body in a different light because it's always either negative or very strong energy and stuff. So I wanted it to be very, like, almost sensual, mm-hmm. you know? You get that same feel as you would, I guess, looking at a female nude body if it was, you know, mm-hmm. in that concept. So, yeah, I wanted to make the male body more sensitive in a mm-hmm. sense. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I thought it would have been a good contrast. Yeah.
Well, no, and I think that's, again, that's true because the, you know, the sort of mythology of the male body is so tied to, like, athleticism and mm-hmm. work and,
yeah. right.
And, you know, and sometimes that can, you know, be positive, of course, like there's nothing wrong with being athletic and working mm-hmm. hard. But again, it's come to be this kind of, like, you know, yeah, again, it's another trope that ties us back to the slavery period and kind right. of, you know, the, the light-skinned woman in her hoop dress saying, mm-hmm. ooh, you know, and all kind of that comes with that,
yeah,
right?
Definitely.
And I think in the show, it's also hung opposite another photographic piece
right,
by yeah. two male artists, mm-hmm. which is also examining, and I think that's curator did that on purpose, to bring that side of the piece out about how this imaging of the male in our society can also be so negative, right? Because it doesn't allow men to be soft,
to feel,
mm-hmm. and that leads to again then violence and inability
toxic
to express yourself.
Masculinity. Yeah.
There you go. Toxic masculinity. There you go. That's
like
the word.
That.
I know, right? So I think that really comes out in that as well.
Thank you.
And is that just one model, or
Just one model. Yeah. I had shot him twice because I had different concepts that I sent initially for the open call. But the last image that I sent them, it was of, I had edited the flower on top of his head and he was holding one, you know, covering his genitals and stuff. So they was like, okay, well, this concept is pretty powerful. They wanted me to expand on that. So I actually shot him again and we just tried different poses. And like I said, he's a dancer, so he really knew what to do. It wasn't that hard. So after I took the photos, I edited them, mm-hmm. and you know, I just started playing with some certain stuff, and I wanted, I guess, some plants that were also familiar mm-hmm. with the Caribbean or home, because I have one with an aloe head, and what's the other one? It was a few different images, but mm-hmm. just familiar vegetation that you would see, mm-hmm. you know, in the country.
And were they? Did you photograph those, or were they just taken?
No,
from
those,
a digital, like, those, kind of,
yeah, those yeah. ones I just got offline. They were mm-hmm. like stock images, mm-hmm. but the bodies were the images that I photographed, mm-hmm. produced myself.
And then how did you actually produce the actual photograph? Because I think that's also, I think sometimes today we forget that it's not just taking the picture, like so many people just take the picture with
it's
their
so
phone,
much more
right?
involved, yeah. mm-hmm.
But that you have to think about actually how do you hang that on a wall? How do you print it? How do you frame? You know, what mm-hmm. was that? How did you print them? Were they just?
Well, I actually got them done at my work, Design Man.
Thank you, Design Man.
The Sign Man.
Sign Man. Sorry.
Sign Man,
I didn't
mean,
yeah. Sign Man. The Sign Man.
Yes.
Shirley Street.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. I printed them and I had.
You drive past it every day.
I figured, what is it called? Acrylic sheeting. I had uh-huh. them over the prints to give it a glassy effect.
Yeah.
I just wanted something different other than framing because. You know, that's usually the go-to thing.
No, no, that's why it's an interesting piece, too, mm-hmm. because you've kind of thought beyond the traditional. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you're not like, oh, I made a picture, and now I'm going to print it, and I'm going to frame it.
Yeah.
You actually, and that's why it's sort of interesting, because it's sort of got a, I don't want to say like a sculptural quality, because it's not a three-dimensional object, but the fact that the acrylic sheet kind of just sits on the wall
mm-hmm. yeah, it's not
sort
not
of gives it.
Object. It's a,
yeah, 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 yeah. And so I thought that was really interesting. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, again, I would just always encourage young artists to think through
beyond
their
this.
Process, right?
Right?
To beyond that, because I think that's very often where things fail for mm-hmm. me. And mm-hmm. when I go to shows by amateur artists or not, I don't want to say amateur, but like people that are like beginning, mm-hmm. it's not thinking through the whole process, right? Of like, you've taken this picture, it looks great in your phone, mm-hmm. or it looks great, you know, printed on a mm-hmm. piece of paper. Mm-hmm. But like, what else can you do?
Right. And
what kind of frame?
That's like, the challenge too with installing mm-hmm. the work too.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a challenge to find, you know, an interesting way to do it.
Yeah.
It's framing,
and can I
you know?
Also just say, please do not print photographs on canvas. Thank you.
Oh, noted.
Just gotta sit. No, I'm not saying it to you. I'm saying it to like the audience. Mm-hmm. Like, please.
Display.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to go to a quick break and then we'll come back and just again, like, continue the conversation with Kendra and Jalan talking about their work and this idea of, again, the fruit and the seed and sort of what that means. You know, for the Bahamas and for the world, and so how their works tie in. You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after this break.